Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast. Stop flashing. The recording light is solid, and the time is counting up. So that must mean it's time for the GigCast number 204 for the last week of March 2011. I'm your host, JT Shea. With me, as always, is Scott Gallatin from the Great White North of Minnesota / Wisconsin, depending upon what time of day it is. So how are you doing there, Scott?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing good.
Good. Well, we missed last week's show. I do apologize for that, but it was a heck of a week for me, so it was kind of busy.
I didn't miss it.
Well, you didn't miss it, but hopefully lots of people out there missed the show because I didn't post a show. But
There is one guarantee.
What was that?
There were no spoilers in last week's show.
There were no Doctor Who spoilers in last week's show. Now, Ms. Kukowski, I can't guarantee that we're not going to talk about Doctor Who here because there have been a couple of little web episodes that have happened, as well as,
We won't do any spoilery things.
No spoilery things, but she needs to watch season 5, and that's what it boils down to. Anyway, last week, again, was kind of a mini vacation week for me. I was sick at the beginning of the week and had the second half of the week was busy doing stuff, getting things cleared up around here. And then Saturday I spent at MegaCon Orlando, the 2011 MegaCon. I got a couple of pretty decent interviews, one with a well-known webcomic, one with an up-and-coming webcomic artist. We'll put those at the end of this show. So we look forward to that. But before then, we've got 2 weeks' worth of webcomic news and information for you that we'll be getting to momentarily, I think. Do you think we should start doing the whole intro, tease the show, then do a break like we used to, or
we used to do that?
Yeah, remember?
Well, yeah, but we used to have sort of pseudo sponsors too.
Pseudo sponsors, or we'd promote another podcast or audiobook.
I tell you what, if people are listening, or I suppose we could probably send out a little fake press release or something. If they want to do 1 minute, you know, stingers for their, well, not stingers, 1 minute little plugs for their thing.
Let's make it gig. 30 seconds. We'll give you 30 seconds for your web to post.
I'll give them a minute. What are we, NBC that we got to give them 30 seconds?
30 second spots. And they're cheap.
We do a 35 to an hour and a half long show. Mm-hmm. I think we can afford to lose a minute.
Yeah. All right. Sure. We can.
If they do a minute or under a minute, mm-hmm. You know, we'll call mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. 1 minute or less.
Okay.
But with the caveat that we may not play it.
Right. We can't
play them all because we've had some ear-splitting, horrible.
Not content wise. We're talking sound quality wise.
Sound quality wise. Where like the thing is like, you know, where we've had to go through and then edit the thing further to go, ooh, yeah.
If you've got a good broadcast quality ad you want to throw our way, not broadcast, podcast quality. I won't go as far. Let us, you know, we'll be glad to put it up there for you.
It doesn't have to be foreshadowing. If you need advice on how to do it, we can give you some advice on how to do it.
Okay. Right. Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything special. Just go, you know, even if it's just a, hey, my name is Rick Springfield, and I mm-hmm, listen to mm-hmm. the GigCast.
Hey, and speaking of which, what we're going to do here, not speaking of Rick Springfield, no. But, you know, Jesse's a friend. He's always been a good friend of mine. But we actually going to, actually, there is one little bit we're going to play today. I haven't edited it up yet, but it will be edited up before this gets posted. We've got the first of Haiku Birdie's Haiku webcomic reviews. He's got three webcomics that he sent me files for. that he will review in haiku form. So we can look forward to that. We'll put that in the show. Probably as soon as we take a little break here, and when we come back, we'll do that a little haiku birdie webcomic review, and then we'll come back and talk about the stories we've got lined up here. And we've got, like I said, we do have a lot to talk about. And then at the end of the show, we will have the interviews I did at MegaCon, the two interviews I was able to get in while I was chasing my 9-year-old around the floor of the dealer room. So, okay, let's take a break. Listen to Haiku Birdie's haiku review, and then we'll be back with more of the GigCast right after this. And now the GigCast presents Haiku Birdie with his haiku webcomic review.
I'm Haiku Birdie with your webcomic reviews in perfect haiku. Adori Park can be found at adoripark.com. Bold, well-drawn brushstrokes, mixed with clever dialogue. East meets West, marriage. Yehuda Moon, which can be found at yehudamoon.com. Comic about bikes. Casual enthusiasts will really love this. Sister Claire, which can be found at sisterclaire.com. Brightly colorful, great sacrilegious humor, an amazing read. Thank you for listening. Catch the GeekCast every week for comic reviews.
And we're back. Okay, I hope you found
back.
Now, if you want to have your webcomic reviewed in haiku format, I'm sure if you follow Haiku Birdie on Twitter, which we'll put his Twitter ID in the show notes. I believe it's at Haiku Birdie. I might be wrong. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, it'll be in the show notes corrected. And send him a message saying, hey, review my comic. I'm sure he'd be glad to. So, there you go.
And he'll do it in haiku format.
Exactly, in haiku format. That's the whole thing. So you'll get about, 17 syllables of webcomic review. But, hey, you can, it's small enough to put it on a business card. You can actually hand it out to people that way.
Well, that, you know what? That is an excellent thing, because if Haiku Birdie reviews your strip, it would make an excellent, you see a lot of bestsellers. You know, New York Times says,
yeah.
you can put the whole haiku bird.
You could, when you actually take your webcomic to print, on the back there, you can have the little haiku. What Haiku Birdie said was,
Haiku Birdie says
exactly. You know, as featured on the GigCast. So there you go. I just want to make sure that I am in Florida. It is raining like cats and dogs out there. This time of year, we needed the rain. We're getting the rain, so occasionally you're going to hear Scott be a little Cylon-y.
Blame it on me.
But I'm not going to blame it on the rain. Blame it on the rain. Sorry. It's a little vanilla.
You went there.
It's like MTV in the 80s, man. What, Rick Springfield and Milli Vanilli.
Are we going to Rick roll the audience now?
Little Rick Astley. No, I don't think so. We're not going to go there. All right, let's jump into what we do have here for webcomics. Now, we actually got a couple of emails over the last couple of weeks, and one of them was from Denver Brubaker. He does a cartoon called Tales of a Checkered Man, which I remember when it came out about a year ago. He's actually celebrating his first strip's birthday by the time this comes out. April 6th is when he hits his 1 year. It's actually a really, really cool comic with about a general everyman type guy who decides to become a superhero, and it's pretty good. It's newspaper formatted. Actually, what he says here in his little press release he sent out was think Charlie Brown as a masked vigilante. So, vigilante, not Vigilante. Vigilante, is that a French vigilante? Or is vigilante French to begin with? Scott? You're just going to leave me hanging.
You were obsessing about
you're
that, huh?
Just going to leave me hanging.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, but it's a very funny, very well drawn webcomic, and again, newspaper formatted. When it came out, the first few strips, they were all pretty much the same. The guy standing on top of the building, monologuing about being a superhero and the fact he's scared of heights. But there's actually been a few short storylines in there since then, and it's actually fleshing out nicely with a nice little cast of characters. And so definitely go check that out over at thecheckeredman.com. Very, very funny, very well drawn, well written, and congratulations on hitting that 1 year mark. And that's not 1 year mark that's updating, I think, twice a week regularly. So it's a good, very, very good accomplishment. Congratulations, man. So be sure to check that one out. Let's see. Now, there's another one. Now, I don't know if you checked this one out, Scott. And again, we got another email from Brian James. He does
Where do we get these emails?
These emails, they come in. They've been coming in, and it's great to see because, it's one of those things where we were gone for such a long time.
Did they come into the GigCast account and I don't think so. Go in there?
Probably. You can go into the GigCast account and have them forwarded to your account I do mine. Well, too many. All right. Well, anyway, this one I was kind of wary about as well at the beginning but actually it works out great. It's called A Fine Example, and you can find it at afineexample.com. And it's a story about a pirate who has retired from being a pirate and lives at home with his son and his girlfriend. And it is just one of those, the way it's drawn is perfect for the, it's kind of a rough style, but the way it's drawn is absolutely, really thick lines, dark lines. But it's hilarious. There's zombies. There's a little helper dude, which is kind of, don't know what the heck he is. He's kind of alive, kind of not, kind of weird, kind of funny.
This was A Fine Example?
Yeah, A Fine Example at afineexample.com. It's the humor is amazing. It's one of those things you really need to read it, get into it. The art style, again, is perfect for what he's doing with this. It's kind of a rough style, but then for the pirate's son, he does more of a kind of a pencil sketch, more realistic kind of drawings. It's just really funny. And you really need to check it out if you haven't. So I'm glad these people are emailing us, because I spent hours just going through these things and I didn't quite catch up because it's been out there since 2006. This one's been around for a while.
Oh, there they are. Okay.
Yeah. Again, it was one of those things. If you go to the website, afineexample.com, it's not apparently obvious where exactly you need to go to find the comics. But if you click
That's a great idea.
If you click on the link where it says first time here, it takes you to the first comic and you can work your way up. That's the only complaint I'd have about the comic really is that. And also I was trying to read it on my phone and the way he letters it is tough to do on a smaller mobile device. But, it's funny. Back in the day when we started doing our webcomics, that's not something we had to really think about, was it? People trying to read your comic on a 3-inch screen, 4-inch screen.
Well, we had like 12-inch monitors. So
well, that's true. That's true.
Everything was at 800 by 600.
800 by 600. And now, that's a good question. Here's a question out there to our webcomic listeners. And most of the people that listen here do have something to do with webcomics. What is the minimum screen size that you work with now? Are you up to like the 1024? Are you at the 1280? What is the width that you create to? Because like Scott was saying here, back in the day it was 800 by 600 because that was pretty much the middle of the road. Most people couldn't handle that. So there were still some people at 640 by 460 or whatever it was. But that's a good question. What do you think, Scott? Yeah. I know you still have some monitors. You complained when I put in too big of pictures on the gig.
It's not that too big. We've got that three column layout. So if you put in something, you know, 600 pixels wide,
it kind of sticks out.
You know, there's still a lot of people that have got their monitor pretty much set up for 1024. I mean, I know they want it bigger than that, but you know, I kind of shoot for if something in total ends up being more than 600 pixels wide.
Yeah.
Don't do it. I mean, or at least like with the most comic press comics, things like that, they take up like the whole top. You know, there's no columns on either side of them, so 600 wide is fine.
Right.
But if there's columns on either side of it, 600 pixels wide, you really better have your monitor
set right.
Because nothing irritates me more on the internet than having to scroll left or right to read the stuff I want to read.
Yes, I agree with you there.
So, like, personally, I've got one monitor that's, you know, it's huge. It's a 19-inch, well, it's an old 19-inch, you know, it's old glass monitor or whatever. You take, you know, it's like 50 pounds or something.
Yeah.
And I've got the resolution cranked way up on that. And that's great. You know, there's pretty much any web page out there I can load up and see the whole thing. But I've also got one that the other machine that I work on, which is an old, God, it's going on a 10-year-old PC.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, the resolution would go higher, but you wouldn't be able to read it.
Yeah.
So I leave it at 1024x768.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Speaking of that, my parents just got a flat screen monitor because they're getting ready to move out of here and they want to get rid of the big old clunky one. And the native resolution on that is it's a widescreen, so it's 1600x900, right? And yeah. So I put it on that, and with the LCDs, you know, I tried to make the resolution smaller, but instead of just making everything bigger, it put black box around the whole edge, and just, you know, so everything was still the same size, just you weren't using the whole screen. So basically, I had to go in the Windows settings and make the font size extra large so that they could read it, because they're older people, you know.
No, I'm actually I'm actually fond of that. I've done that before, where it's like I'll crank the resolution way up. So I'll have, like, you know, I'll open up Firefox.
Right.
And everything will look tiny. And then I'll go into Firefox and I'll crank up all the font sizes. All the fonts so that there's something readable. And I'm like, you know, this is how I want – this is ultimately how I would like web pages to look.
Yeah.
You know, where the background stuff, you know, kind of faded into the background a little. And all the other BS was – a little subtle.
And everything fits, though. The pictures, yeah, you can see all the, like, pictures, you can read everything, everything works well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, you go to a lot of even business web pages and things now, and everything is just jam-packed in there, and you can't read anything, and it's all just crap.
Yeah.
And the presentation sucks, and they go, well, you know, we want it to be as much like a newspaper as possible.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, okay.
Think out of the box a little bit, it'll be better.
Yeah, it's like, you know, newspapers are going out of business.
For a reason, yeah.
Well, actually, who knows? Maybe they'll be saved by electronic distribution.
Maybe, you know, maybe, but
well, you know, there's always that rumor of Amazon. Well, there's a rumor right now going around that the next versions, or maybe the versions after that, of the Kindle and the Nook,
yeah,
will run Honeycomb. If you don't know what Honeycomb is the version of Android that most people have on their phones.
Yep.
Honeycomb is the next version.
The next version.
Of Android that 2.3 have on their, yeah.
Right.
Well, three, I think, is what it is.
Oh, three? Okay.
I think Honeycomb is three, and then, anyways, yeah, you guys are currently at like 2.2 or something.
Yeah, I'm at 2.0. Yeah, exactly.
Most of the tablets that are going to start coming out on the market are going to run Honeycomb.
Right, and they do video. They do everything. I mean,
they do video. They do, and
they run Flash. Yeah. You know?
Well, but what people are suggesting, and then this is just rumor mill, is that Amazon is working on a, you know, so their version of the Kindle would use e-ink and Honeycomb, you know, but it would be color e-ink.
Right.
And the cool thing about e-ink is it's really, really...
Battery. The battery life is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's essentially an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you know, huge battery life, subsidized distribution, You know, so you're talking $150 tablets instead of $500 tablets.
Exactly, exactly.
You're talking about a distribution chain through Amazon that, or through Borders or something, where if you're already a magazine and you're just doing, you know, doing a color magazine right now, you just have to convert it to
it's the right format, and there you there, and there, yeah,
99 cents, you can download the thing. I would do that all day long.
Oh, no kidding, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, if God, as much as I really don't want to send any money Apple's way if I don't have to, if I could pick up an iPad 2 for $300,
probably do it.
Well,
you know what? My brother was in town this last week, and he has an iPad, the original. That's a heavy piece of equipment.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
I was amazing. I was amazed at how heavy it was. I'm like, I couldn't pick myself standing in line at a bank or something, reading something on that thing.
It's all battery. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
the thing is all battery. But it's actually really battery friendly. But the entire weight of the thing is the battery.
Yeah, and the new one I understand is a lot lighter. But the original iPad, that thing, again, that's not something I can see getting tired holding that thing up, trying to read a book or read a magazine.
It's like holding up a hardcover book.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so okay. So one, I'm not going to buy a Samsung or anything anymore. But two, if one of these guys gets off their butts and gets me a $150 tablet of some sort,
you're in. Yeah, I'm dying to get one for my wife because she likes reading the you know, like People magazine and stuff like that, and she's always on my Facebook pages and stuff and those sort of thing. And a tablet would be perfect for her. I mean, because she's not a content creator; she's a content consumer. And a tablet would be perfect for what she does on the web right now. Occasional email, and that's it. You know, she doesn't need. Doesn't need a physical keyboard. Doesn't need any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if all it does for $150 is be able to open up Firefox or Chrome or something, and be able to do ebooks, yeah. You know, maybe audio or some stupid thing.
You know what? On my phone here, I've got an app called. My comics are called comics. I think it's just called comics, actually. And the way it allows you to read print comics that have been put onto the web, the way it does panel by panel, how it transitions between panels and lets you focuses on the action, or exactly, it's amazing. And this is on a 4-inch screen. I can see if they have a 7-inch or a 9-inch tablet that would do the same thing. There's no reason. I mean, the reading. I mean, it's just amazing the way it works. So, and this is a free app on Android. It was just there to obviously they want you to buy the comics, but they have free previews of comics that you can purchase. And I went through and read one of the Firefly ones. Actually, no, it was the Battlestar Galactica, the issue zero for the Battlestar Galactica comics. It was like, wow, man, the way that it led you panel by panel through the comic, focusing on the important stuff and the way the conversations went and stuff. And if it was a full screen, supposed to be like a full double page, whatever view. It kind of focuses in on the big picture. Then it would focus in on what you're supposed to look at, what the focus of the picture to be. It was just so well done. I can see how, before I was thinking, how could anybody want to read a comic on electronically as it is? Because, I mean, doing like the Zuda thing on the web was at best. And that's on a full screen monitor. On my phone, that comics app is amazing, and so I can see how the way things have really progressed there for electronic comics for reading magazines and that sort of media.
There's still some debate going around about what the price point will end up having to be.
Yeah, that's the thing. What do you have against Samsung?
What do I have against Samsung?
Yeah, what happened there?
Something I was just reading tonight, and it's again, this is grain of salt kind of thing. I haven't seen it independently confirmed yet, but apparently on a couple of models of the Samsung laptop,
yeah,
Samsung may have installed a keylogger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you don't know what a keylogger is, basically it's a piece of software that records every keystroke you make on a keyboard.
I can't imagine that'd be something they did officially or something maybe.
No, they released an official response of they wanted to see how these systems were performing and what kind of uses they were being put to.
Whoa.
Whoever
I'm looking at my phone kind of suspiciously now.
Well, I don't think it would be able to be something that would run on your phone.
No, so anyway, mine's rooted and I've got a different ROM. It's not,
well, not so. Only that, you don't even have a keyboard for one.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I guess it could probably log any kind of an input, but
yeah.
The sinister thing.
Yeah,
keyloggers. Keyloggers have been traditionally used by people looking to steal your passwords. Why in the world Samsung would put a keylogger on anything ever? Because what bloody right do they have monitoring what you do on your laptop? I mean, that's the part I don't get.
I wonder if they put it in the EULA that you click at the beginning that nobody reads.
No, well, I mean, originally they denied it. And then they came out later and going, well, it may not be a final official response.
Yeah.
Because
they were on a huge upswing there with all their hardware lately has been amazing. Their mobile hardware,
yeah,
like the Galaxy Tab, the Galaxy phone that I have one of their Galaxy S phones that I love the thing.
If this ends up panning out to be much of anything, I mean, if you just do a Google search or a Bing search or whatever you're going to search with for Samsung and Keylogger, you'll find the news articles about it. Originally, like I said, it was just on a couple of tech blogs that I watched, and then ThinkGeek posted a link to it. And then now I'm starting to see it in more and more mainstream news. And
yeah, I'm looking at there's an article
huge.
On Computer World.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all over the place, you're right. Amazing.
I mean, we are maybe your tech support here for the moment. This is not. I mean, a couple of years ago, I bitched and moaned about Sony putting extra software on CDs that when you ran them on when you ran their music CDs on your computer, it would install software your computer to monitor the how often you burn that to disk.
Yeah, the little root kit there.
Mm. Yeah, and it ended up rootkitting a lot of people's computers and breaking them, and basically they got like the lightest slap on the wrist possible. They literally gave out as part of – so there was a class action lawsuit, and the what they ended up having to pay out was the equivalent of a $3 coupon so that you could buy Sony products.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you
– Beautiful, fucking? Yeah.
Yeah. So in here comes Samsung, and they're putting key loggers on their laptops. And it's like, granted, it might not be all their laptops – we don't know yet. So far, the one guy that discovered it found it on two of their different models, R525 and an R540.
Wow.
And the reason I bring it up is Samsung has a pretty reasonable price point. Some of you people may have one of these things. If you don't have a reasonably good antivirus software on this computer, get one now. The program's called StarLogger. I don't think it's going to be something you'll just detect right out of the box.
If you do have one of these Samsung laptops, you do Google search on it and like how to check. I'm sure there's a step by step out there how to verify, see if you have that on your machine or not.
Well, yeah, there's actually like a directory that this thing is installed
like
on.
Like a one-click fix, I'm sure Microsoft or something will put out.
I don't know because this is legitimate software, and I don't know that Microsoft's going to go, we don't have any responsibility.
Yeah, because it was installed by the manufacturer. It's not well, like
it,
it's
it,
a
it gets it gets flagged by antivirus software as being a key logger.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But my suspicion is that some antivirus softwares
may not catch it. Yeah.
Well, no, they may ignore it because it's part legit. Of the manufacturer's thing. It's kind of like, hey, you know.
Well, I feel like you do a Google search, check, see if you have one of those models, and I'm sure there'll be a way to check and remove it if you need to.
Yeah.
But not to bring this back to the focus of the show here.
With the focus of the show being what's your gig?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. By the way, I just wanted to make one more note about a fine example. The pirate that's the main character of this thing, he has two peg legs, by the way. Just wanted to throw that out there. That's one of the funniest part of it, I think. Anyway, it's kind of it reminds me kind of a Dr. McNinja sort of vibe to the comic.
No.
A little.
No, we're on opposite ends of the world here lately. I'm
you don't see that?
I'm not gonna. Well, yes, it's black and white, and yes, it's wacky.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm working hard at not downing. Well, not making a going off on a rant because I don't want to poo-poo every comic choice you make.
This isn't a comic choice I make. This is a comic that somebody sent in, say, hey, you want to check it out? And I did. And I agree with you. At the beginning, I'm like, what the hell is this? But as I read it, I kept getting – it actually kind of grew on me. That's all I'm saying. It has a little bit – I think it's pretty clever and interesting. And I like
– Yeah, maybe the writing's – yeah, I haven't read it.
Exactly.
Maybe the writing's clever.
You can't judge a book by its art style.
I don't know why you can't.
Well, you can if that's what you're judging. But if you take it as a whole, check it out. It's pretty cool. I think so.
Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know that I'd compare it to Dr. McNinja. I mean, yes, it has pirates, but
well, okay. It kind of has that vibe, kinda.
All right.
Anyway. To jump back into a little bit of webcomic news, what's going on here? There's a couple of popular webcomics having some changes in their in the people that actually are creating them. The last gig cast we kind of hinted at something big going on over at. And it just jumped out of my head because it's not in the show notes. Super Fogies has a new artist. That was the big news over there. And I do apologize. I don't have the name of the gentleman who's doing the art for him now. But I understand he's doing an awesome job, and it's going to just add a lot to the comic. But also, over at Jump Leads, they've got a new colorist coming on board there. And this colorist, his name is Chris Carter. And if you notice in the show notes, I did spell colorist with a U, because Ben is the whole English thing there. I just wanted to nod to the Queen's English. anyway, Chris Carter is joining the Jump Leads team to color. He wrote and did the art for Waterworld, which was their eighth issue. But he's also worked on comics like to the Transformers, Doctor Who, Torchwood, and Red Dwarf, and Songs in the Key of Files. So Chris obviously knows what he's doing in the world of comics, and I'm sure he'll be a great addition to Jump Leads. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
You just clicked on something, and it popped up here on the show notes. Anyway, you clicked on Waterworld or something there.
Yeah, I'm just going to the link.
It's very funny. It actually popped up here. I'm like, what? Oh, that's Scott. Yeah, Google Docs, wonderful thing.
Well, that's weird that I clicked on the link and it showed you that I clicked on
because
the link.
Because you clicked on it like and it showed up like you were editing it. Kind of weird. But right. Congratulations over there. I'm sure that it's going to be a great. Chris will be a great addition to the Jump Leads team.
Yeah, so. Just checking out the link to Waterworld, which is sort of a side story.
And the as last time I talked to Ben, I believe he was still looking for work. So if you anybody out there in the LA area and have a job that Ben might work for, let him know.
Or if you're perhaps a single, attractive older woman who's got a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm sure that would work too.
Yeah, you know, somebody, you know, sugar ma
kind of a little cougar action going on. Never hurt anybody. All right, man, you take over. What's next?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got distracted here.
I'm thinking about older women. What?
What's that?
At our age, thinking about older women is not exactly the best thing to be thinking about, sir.
Why not?
Well, my age anyway. I don't know. What? I don't know.
Say what's wrong with women a little older than you? As long as they're, you know.
I agree with you there. I'm just saying that at our age, the ratio to acceptable older women is getting much smaller, where the acceptable younger women, of course, are.
I have a good imagination. I think Courtney Cox is still older than you are.
I believe she is. She needs to eat a sandwich, but that's all right.
I'm sorry?
I said she should eat a couple of sandwiches. That's what I'm thinking.
You got to get over it. Courtney Cox?
Yeah. Remember her dancing the Bruce Springsteen video way back in the day?
Yeah, but that was like 20 years ago.
Longer than that, dude. It had been longer than that.
Okay, 25 years ago. Probably. Whatever, 30 years ago.
Right. I'm just saying.
I think she's had a sandwich or two by now.
I'm not saying she was too skinny back then. I'm just saying that remember her back in the day. That's how long she's been around.
Have you seen Cougar Town lately?
I have. It started out as a pretty stupid show and it evolved into a kind of a stupider show.
Yeah, well, that's
all right,
good.
It turned into a sitcom when it wasn't a sitcom before.
It
morphed from a show about older women going after younger guys to just your typical sitcom neighbors, but little more deranged than usual.
I'm sorry, was Courtney Cox in it or not?
Yes.
Then it was always a sitcom.
Oh, okay, yeah, it was a sitcom, but the direction it went totally changed. You know, this is turning into the good, bad, and the geeky.
It was a serious show about older women dating younger men. You really wanted to.
It wasn't a serious show about that, but it was
next on PBS. It was a Cougar Town.
It was a sitcom about that. Now it's not about that at all. It's just about kooky neighbors living near each other.
Well, it's still about that, but yeah.
No, because she's not. She's whatever. Anyway,
she's still dating younger guys. Right?
Can we get serious now?
I thought we were. Is this serious discussion?
About Courtney Cox and we could talk about, you know, the Friends, the stars of Friends are all getting decent shows these days. Mr. Sunshine is very funny.
It is not.
Yes, it is. I think it is.
That's the one with boring guy.
Yeah, and with Chandler, and he's playing the same character. He just works for an arena in San Diego right now. I think it's San Diego. In any case. And then Matt LeBlanc's on a show on, is it Showtime or one of those networks? I don't know. I work for a cable company. You think I'd know this. Distracted with what?
Somebody posted on a thing.
I'm sorry if I'm interrupting your surfing time with our with a podcast. I do apologize. In any case,
somebody was asking for my advice, and I was trying to help them.
That's very nice of you.
I've minimized that now. What was the question again?
Okay, now we're going to talk about a very important, serious subject.
Three Nuts?
You want to go there first? Okay.
Sure. If you want to talk.
Three Nuts is awesome.
Three Nuts. Okay, you're all.
Hold on, wait a second. Let the rain pass over.
No.
Okay, now
not my rain.
You're sounding better now. Go right ahead.
I sound fine.
To you?
I don't hear any rain.
Okay, you don't hear any rain, but there are people out there are hearing the Cylon U talk about Three Nuts.
are they standing outside your window?
They might be. It might be kind of creepy, but they may be. What they hear? Okay. All right. Anyway, Three Nuts.
Three Nuts is.
I need more rum. Go ahead.
In the great Garfield minus Garfield type tradition. And by the way, if you don't know what Garfield minus Garfield is,
where have you been?
Basically, they took Garfield out of the Garfield strip and they just showed how crazy John really is. Three Nuts is they basically took Charles Schulz's traditional four-panel comic where the first three panels were kind of this serious lead-up to something, and then in the fourth panel he brought it all together with sort of a note of hope or humor or sarcasm or something. Something to basically take the first three panels and make them less painful.
Right.
In a cynical world, who needs that last panel? So they've just chopped it up. And there's a website, 3eanuts.tumblr.com will get you to the Three Nuts site.
It's awesome.
And yeah, basically, as I've been reading through this, I've been a Peanuts fan for a long time.
Well, who hasn't? You know.
Yeah, well, a lot of people actually aren't.
These days there aren't because they're taking up valuable real estate on the newspapers that their up-and-coming comic artists should have. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. No,
get over it because in a few years it's not going to be a problem.
It's exactly.
That either papers will have gone to an electronic format where they'll just have plenty of room for all the comics they want, and then it'll just be a...
You know what's funny? I find myself avoiding the newspaper comics because I read them online, and they're usually a couple, like of Dog Eat Doug, for instance. I read Dog Eat Doug on DogEatDoug.com. I don't read it in the paper. I skip over it on Sunday because I know I'll catch it next week. So I just let it go, and I read it online.
You buy a Sunday paper?
My wife does.
Oh, she wants the ads?
Yeah. No, she likes to read the paper on Sunday.
Okay.
You know, if she wants her news 24 hours, 40 hours later than everybody else, that's who might argue.
No, that's all right. Isn't that there's a couple of – again, we are going through this cycle of newspapers trying to put all their crap behind a paywall.
Yeah.
And what they don't understand is that they all get their same news from their same news source.
Which is free online. Newswire. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where you can find, you know, millions of AP Newswire stories all over the place for free. So why the hell do we need to pay – whoever, $5 a month to your local newspaper when they're basically fired half their staff. Half the good writers that you want to read are now, you know, out there working.
They're blogging.
Barnes & Noble.
Oh, they're blogging.
Yeah. Anyways, to get back to Three Nuts.
Three Nuts. Awesome.
So basically they're swiping Three Nuts off of the whatever Go Comics or whatever it is, who hosts it. And they're just chopping off that last panel and posting it up on Tumblr.
They're either chopping, getting rid of the last panel completely, or just erasing the dialogue.
They're just chopping off the last panel.
No. Are they?
Yeah.
Because the one isn't Peanuts usually only like three panels anyway?
No, it's four.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yep,
that's the whole idea.
It's absolutely brilliant, is what it is.
Yeah. No, Well, I don't know if I go with brilliant. It's certainly certainly exactly what Garfield minus Garfield does.
Yeah.
Except that they've taken another. I mean, you could do the same thing with, you know, a number of classic comics. You know, you could probably get Kathy out and find a way to twist it around. Somebody probably already has, and I'm not. And if they have, just let me know in the show notes. You know, make a comment. Let me know if somebody's already taken the Kathy strip and done something like this. But, Heathcliff, you know, and that'll be the next thing is Heathcliff minus Heathcliff or some stupid thing. This is the part of me that goes, this is a guilty pleasure. Things like Garfield minus Garfield and Three Nuts. Because, I'd like to be against art thievery on all its levels. But, you know, I'm taking a moment here to go find the Bleeding Cool News website. Because remember what we were talking at MegaCon?
Oh, yeah. The one guy, I actually looked for him, but I didn't have a chance to find him.
Yeah, Rob and Hang on, I can find it.
I got so many tweets. I got tweets from people that listened to the show that said, go find him and kick him in the ass for me.
Exactly. If you don't know what we're talking about, there was a person.
Yeah.
Who recently got basically busted stealing art.
Granito.
Yeah, Rob Granito.
Jeez.
And I'm pulling up the article now. Bleeding Cool Comics is who basically broke the story. I mean, it wasn't really breaking the story as much as making apparent what should have already been apparent. Because the guy's been around for a long time, and he's doing... Tim, now I'm going to drag you into this here. Do you remember the name of... Was it Lichtenstein who would take panels out of comics and turn them into giant, you know, paintings?
I can't remember his name, but there's that, and then there was a guy who would grab comics and make them into T-shirts that were in Hot Topic and stuff like that. Is that the same guy?
No. The Lichtenstein was a we're talking about an artist who was, you know, in the 70s kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And he basically was taking... Oh, hang on. Let me see. Now I'm back. I gotta back. We got all this stuff going on here. Anyway, so Rob Granito. Rob Granito was basically taking panels or covers or, you know, from books and making them huge. Painting them, selling them as prints. There's rumors that he actually paid for a couple of commissions and then made prints out of it and sold those prints at conventions. So there's a lot of stuff here that the guy did that, boy, was kind of crappy. I mean, he was stealing art, and there's all these examples of him stealing art, and it's a shame because, you know, if the guy's half, you know, I mean, if he can actually legitimately paint, but it's really looking more and more like he straight traced some of the stuff, or he put it into a projector of some sort, you know, to blow it up onto a canvas or something. But he basically got the beat down at MegaCon. Mark Waid, very famous comic book writer, got in his face. I'm trying to think. There was a couple of our other...
Wish I was there for that. I was chasing a 9-year-old around the dealer floor.
Oh, and it's kind of one of these deals where this guy's been doing this apparently for like the last 10 years. And making a living at it. I don't know if he's making a living, but he's been showing up at conventions. The where it also got a little ugly is not only was he just selling this stuff as his work at conventions, but he was making claims that he was working on things like Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of a huge claim. I mean,
yeah. Okay, and to tie this into like the Three Nuts thing, Rob Granito is an example of somebody who swiped art and used it for his own thing. You know, I'm always a little, you know, the whole, like the Garfield versus Garfield. I'm like, you know, it's just, you know, all you did was eliminate one panel. And I mean, they're not really, granted, he's not calling it his own work. They're not calling it, you know, it's, I don't even know that you could call it a derivative work. It's not a parody. It's just literally, hey, I grabbed this and I chopped a panel off and I'm posting it up here for you. I'm a little fuzzy about, you know, I'm okay. I guess that's parody.
It's parody, and, you know, he's not, sure, it's on Tumblr and whatnot, but is it,
I mean, he's basically getting traffic and.
Sure, he's getting traffic, but. There's one ad way at the bottom. There's one banner ad, and that's it. Now, is that a Tumblr putting that on there, or is that him putting it on there?
Well, I'm going to go with it's probably him.
I'm going to go with Tumblr.
No, I'm not gonna.
No?
I don't, because I've got a Tumblr account.
And there's no ads on it?
No.
No banner ads on it?
No.
All right, then. I don't know then, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's kind of a... is there going to eventually be a book like they did with Garfield versus Garfield? And I mean, and again, are we... the guy who's posting, who is posting this stuff? Doesn't really say. So the guy who's doing the Three Nut stuff, you know, he's got an About the Author page. He's not the author. He's chopping a panel off. I mean, granted, he's pushing a lot of things towards Peanuts. And so I'm okay. It's kind of that whole, he's giving credit where credit's due. And he's pointing out something about Peanuts that a lot of people sort of overlook. So there's some value to it, you know. But yeah, it's kind of a, boy, how upset would you be, you know, PvP without Troll? Or, you know, Sinfest with... you know, Sinfest without Sinfest. You know, how upset would you get if it was one of your favorite, you know, new comics?
Now, you know, thing is, he's doing it with a comic with the creator is no longer with us. Sure, it's still technically under copyright. Yep. From his family, whatnot, but the person who created it now, and the comic is still running, like we mentioned before, in reruns and papers and stuff and whatnot. Right. So it's not like he's, you know, it is kind of a gray area. You know, it's funny, it's kind of neat, but is it really?
Yeah, I get it, and I enjoyed it. But yeah, where is our line here? Should I be, I mean, as an artist, do I, you know, as somebody who enjoys the craft of cartooning, do I support that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to say that this is a straight fair use parody, but I don't think it really is. I mean, it's not that this is a, hey, I made a character that looked a little bit like Snoopy, and, you know, that's parody kind of thing. No, this is just literally I lifted it off of one website and chopped off a panel and then posted it. And, yeah, you're right. It's very funny. I like it. I like it this way because I don't think nowadays that the Peanut strip needs to always have an upbeat. I think it adds something to Peanuts to not have that upbeat. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks to how this day and age is. Do I think that's this person's choice to make? You know, for the Peanuts estate,
yeah,
you know, the Charles Schulz estate, maybe not. So yeah, now that I've ranted a little bit, because yeah, so I don't really have an answer. So again, I'd be interested in what everybody's opinion is. On things like Garfield versus Garfield and Three Nuts, and if you know of others, please tell me, because here it is. Roy Lichtenstein was an American pop artist who essentially he took panels from comics,
mm-hmm,
and blew them up, made them giant works of art.
Oh, okay, that guy, right.
So he was a pop artist like Andy Warhol. And I'm really, again, I see the value of pop art. I mean, but on the other hand, who's getting the credit here? I mean, if you're doing original work that falls under the category of pop art, absolutely I'm in favor. If you're doing some sort of derivative work with the permission of the original artist or with the with the nod from the original artist, even if the original artist doesn't really like what you're doing, at least, you know, if they've given you the nod to go ahead and do it, I'm okay with that. But some of the stuff that these guys pull is flat out rip off.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is very, very true.
And again, we get back to this Rob Granito. What did Rob Granito do? He took panels and he took covers, and he, in some cases, it looks like he flat out did a line for line copy of the drawings from the original art. I mean,
now with him, he's doing, you know, stealing the artwork, but he did
flat out claiming he had done
them. Right. I think that's where the problem comes in with that, when he starts claiming that it's his original artwork and that then his resume, which is obviously, if not right out fake, at the minimum inflated, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Whereas like Lichtenstein, he flat out swiped some stuff. But he tried to make it quirky, I guess.
Yeah.
He tried to make a statement.
Sometimes how gray are the gray areas? Sometimes they're gray, sometimes they're not, you know.
And it's always amazing to me how we get upset by when we come across art thieves and we get bent out of shape. Yet we kind of have a double-edged sword here, or maybe we're a little hypocritical when we support one thing that is a blatant ripoff, but
it's really funny.
Yeah,
that
is the problem.
I mean, I'm looking at the one for today, March 30th. You know, it's Charlie Brown falling behind Linus there. Saying, you think the world is getting better? Well, if you got so much confidence in the world getting better, how come you hang on to that blanket? And the third thing is just Linus looking down at the blanket, kind of with a quizzical look on his face, with Charlie Brown staring at him. And you know the fourth panel is he's got to say something poignant and witty and like, oh, Linus is so thoughtful. But instead it ends there. And Linus is actually questioning if this blanket's really going to help him, or if the blanket's going to be enough to help him. You know,
it really points out that, you know, maybe Schultz had I want to go out and get the Schultz biography, because they talk about Schultz was really actually a pretty messed up individual.
He must have been, you know, kind of depression there, something going on.
They talked about how Peanuts was kind of self-therapy for him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the original bio web blogger or whatever, web cartoonist. Auto bio web cartoonist. You know, it was just, you know, he was always chasing after the little red-headed girl.
Yeah.
I mean, the first three panels basically are pointing out just how messed up things are.
Yeah.
Well, how much he was questioning the world.
Right, yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, that's my rant.
Okay.
Is I like Three Nuts. I'm very entertained by it. I'm also very entertained by Charles. Basically, it's kind of made me think about Charles Schultz again, and I hadn't done that in a while, and I appreciate that. Yeah. I question how long I should applaud things like that.
Talking about the Wayback Machine here, in my my reading room, otherwise known as the master bathroom off the bedroom there, my wife had pulled out the Far Side Treasury.
Oh man!
Which is actually the 10-year anniversary Far Side thingy where Gary Larson goes through and, you know, explains a lot of the prehistory of the Far Side and how things came to be and dealing with editors and light and stuff like that. And so I just read through that, and it's amazing. Reading the behind the scenes things of how these comics were created is kind of cool, and so I hadn't thought about Gary Larson and what he did with this single panel comic in a long time. As you just mentioned, you know, then you think about Charles Schultz again, and it's just it's kind of cool how these things.
Yeah, it's good to go back and remember how great some of these things were.
Because, I mean, when I was a kid, the comics was it. I mean, that was the and when I say comics, I'm not talking about comic books. I'm talking about the newspaper comics. That was like one of the many highlights of my day is if I didn't read them in the morning, reading them when I got home at night. And I remember buying the Garfield books. I remember, you know, Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side and Bloom County. I mean, that's the Holy Trinity right there of the newspaper comics when I was growing up. You know, Publix Peanuts was old hat then. It was, you know, dated at the time, you know, even talking about the 80s. But just in 70s, I remember like Mutt and Jeff and all stuff. And just now going back and looking at these collections and treasuries and getting the inside scoop. And it's funny how, you know, like now doing what we're doing and I'm following Bill Armand and Brian Anderson and all these newspaper comics or newspaper cartoonists on Twitter. So it's almost like, you know, these guys kind of, sort of, you know, Brian Anderson, I could, you know, contact him in any time I wanted to, pretty much. It's just kind of, it's amazing how the world has shifted, you know?
Yeah, no,
it's
really.
I'm rambling.
I mean, it's also gotten
creepier.
I'd like to say the world has gotten smaller, but you start talking about comics and it's almost like the world has gotten bigger.
Because there's more.
There's so much to go through.
Yeah.
And so much of it's, very, very good. And a lot of it is really, really bad. But much of it has gotten very, very good. You're finding talent in places that, you know, that you wouldn't have expected. And now you've got.
It kind of makes you question. You know, like we've talked about this before. When you do look at the newspaper comics these days, you know, like, why is this person's comic in the paper when this person's comic that I read online is magnitudes of time better? You know, just magnitudes. We're not talking just a little bit better or just as good. We're talking, this is a much better comic. Why is that not in the paper? You know, it's the times are shifting. The way things are done are totally going out the window. And it'd be interesting to see how things pan out. Now, you know what? I don't think there's ever going to be a time where things are just the way they are. Things are all constantly going to be changing now from here on out. You know? That's what I think.
Yeah, but it's, you know, a lot of it, too, is, you know, if you got to make editorial decisions, you know, sometimes you pick the one that you can work with, not necessarily
one that's not going to offend the least amount of people.
You know, if you're old enough to have held down a 40-hour week job, you know for a fact what we're talking about. So it's not always the most qualified or the most intelligent or the best at the job that gets the promotion.
Or even the hardest worker.
Sometimes it's flat out the person who can just, you know, mesh best.
Or stepped on the least amount of toes.
The least amount of toes. I mean, that's why so many companies hire management from outside of the company nowadays.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah, you don't hire management from within because there's too much history. Too many people know what the person can or can't do. So
we should probably mention a couple things here. The first one that the one you were going for earlier about the serious note.
Yes.
Now that we're almost an hour into this, Japan needs heroes.
Oh, exactly.
Japan Needs Heroes is going to be a comic that's going to feature a ton of talent. All proceeds of the book are going to be going to the Japan Society, which is going to basically 100% of the proceeds are going to go help for rebuilding, I suspect. I mean, rebuilding, helping, you know, get food, you know, these kind of things. We really need to be reminded that, yep, it's big, it's scary, it's the nuclear reactor may still not be able to recover, but the tsunami, like, just like it did in, like the earthquake in Haiti, and what was it, Indonesia, that got wiped out pretty much, the coastline of, was it Indonesia that got hit by a tsunami a few years ago? Tim?
What's that?
What was the other country that got hit by a
tsunami? The earthquake down in Haiti. Talking about that?
Well, Haiti was the big earthquake. But before that, there was what, Indonesia?
Oh, yeah, over in Indonesia. It was
Yeah, where like thousands of people basically went missing.
Yeah, that tsunami Christmas Day or years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it was. I mean, and for us to say, why should we help? You know, if you're one of the people going, why should we help Japan? Why wouldn't we? I mean, what are we going to do? Kidding. Enemies with Japan forever? No.
Well, let's not even talk about those idiots.
Well, yeah. But it's, yeah, basically this is all going to go, all the proceeds are supposed to go to the Japan Society. And the one I want to point you at, though, is Kickstarter. There's a Kickstarter page for Japan Needs Heroes.
What? Sorry.
We're talking about a serious subject.
No, you understand. Japan Needs Heroes, which is great, and if it's a Kickstarter project, and you know there's a big thing there. It's you're actually buying a product if you donate, which is great. You get a soft cover, hardcover book, but just below the Japan Needs Heroes, there's that little blue bar that you know gives you your Facebook and your tweet and stuff that, and it says Chris Crosby and 397 others like this. The whole Chris Crosby thing, kind of.
Well, no, but he's actually going to be in the book.
I understand that, but just...
But yes, know, just, but I realize that he Facebook liked it, and you must be one of his Facebook friends.
I guess so. I don't know how that happened, but okay.
Well, you're a whore.
I'm a equal opportunity guy there. But
for example, mine says David Reddick.
Oh, well, you win. You win that one there. You're obviously much more selective than I am.
It's just Facebook.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a ton of people in this thing, and it's very much like the Katrina book. Chances are it's probably going to be a little bit more, I don't know if it'll be any more organized, but there's some bigger names in it. Whereas the webcomic relief book that we did for Katrina,
mm-hmm.
this has got some bigger backers behind it. Yeah, I mean, really, how do you not?
I know, and you know, the thing is, you know, you're going to get a quality product. Things for $5, you can get the PDF download. For $25, you get a soft cover book in U.S. and Canada only. That's going to be that. $35 for international is a soft cover, and $50 or more for U.S. Canada, you get a hardcover. $60 for the international donors. You're going to get a quality product, and all the profits from this are going to something which is big and important. Like they are saying, you're doing the Kickstarter regulations. This is not a charity fundraiser or awareness campaign. You're actually buying a product. Just so happens that 100% of the profits are going to a good cause. So it's a great.
At least on this, we hope.
Right.
You know, I always worry about
where the money's going.
Right.
I wonder who they're going to donate it to. It doesn't really say.
Well, it does. It says Japan Society.
Japan Society, right.
But I don't know who Benny Powell is. You know, I don't know.
But they got links to all the stuff they're doing, so you can check it out.
I mean, there's real artists who would have.
You mentioned Dave Reddick. He's big in there, and he's really great.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Benny Powell is an actual artist who, you know, works in the field, and he's got a reputation he would want to maintain. So, you know, it's I'm sure it's all on the up and up. But yeah, I'm a paranoid bastard. I'm, you know, the other one we got to mention, before we let this go too long is there's a very good interview over on the Daily Brink, about the book Machine of Death. And an interview with David Malky, Ryan North, and Matthew Bernardo. And I point this out not because I've read all the article and found that the article was fascinating, which I'm sure it probably is, but because GigCast listener and subscriber, Case, you say the name, Skakelski?
Miss Skakelski. Yes, Kate there has sent us the link.
She took some of the – she did a good chunk of the photos.
Which is cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so somebody named Zach Dizon took some of them. But if you go through the slideshow, she's taken – it looks like she took a bunch of them of Matthew. She took a bunch of them of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty cool one of Matthew sitting in a typewriter that I liked. But yeah, congratulations on that. I mean, I know that's kind of what you do, but I like it. I always like seeing what you guys do. And I'm very interested in seeing more of it. So if you guys want to share what you do with us, please let us know. You know, so was it thegigcast@gmail.com? Is that what the one was?
I believe it is thegigcast@gmail.com. We'll get it to us.
We'll have to go through our whole night gig email addresses. Because I know we had like a Gigcast address that would automatically forward to both of us. But for now, you
can. I thought that was the one. I really did.
Well, no, the Gigcast@gmail.
Oh, Gmail.
I think you would. That one, I think you set up some rules. But we had a Gigcast@nightgig, I think. And I just got to.
Let me see here.
I haven't.
The one that.
I haven't.
The last email that I got was from Tom Pratt, otherwise known as Neon, from Shadowbinders.com. He's happy to hear we're back. You might want to check that out at, again, shadowbinders.com. And that was sent to gigcast@nightgig.com. So gigcast@nightgig.com will get the email to us as well. I think the gigcast@gmail is also a, let's see here, which this one came from, again, gigcast@nightgig. That was from a spam, a marketing consultancy. I don't know if it's spam or not, but they're offering to give us money, but I don't think it's really, yeah. Any case, either of those, but for a fact that gigcast@nightgig.com will get your emails to us. So if you want to send those 30-second to a minute promos we're talking about, if you have any news about your webcomic in general, or if you don't want to follow Haiku Birdie for some reason, but you still want him to review your comic. So I don't know why those would diverge like that. But if that's the case, if you want to send it up to gigcast@nightgig.com, I'll forward it on to him. So. You still there?
Yeah, I'm
here. You get awful quiet sometimes. I must be reading. You must be reading something.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. Hey, real quick here. We're talking about newspaper comics. The Nerdist, which if you're not following the Nerdist blog and podcast, you really need to, posted a link to Jim Henson's Wizard of Id pilot that he did back in 1969. They actually did a Muppet version of Wizard of Id, and there is a pilot that they did. It's about 5 minutes long, 4 minutes and 40 seconds. If you do a... go to the Henson Company on YouTube. It's posted there. It's also on the Nerdist. It is hilarious. it's actually called them Muppets back then too. It was 1969. He was already calling them Muppets. So you should check that out. It's very funny. All right. So we got anything else? I know we're going to let's just break this off here. If everything falls together in the correct way, you should be hearing two interviews. One with the creator of Love and Capes. His name is Tom. Tom. I guess I'm going to go with Tom for now. I'm sorry. I mess up his last name, of course, in the interview as well. So it works out well that I don't remember exactly what it is at this moment. You think that we would be a little more? No. If you're a long time listener, you know for a fact that we're not that organized.
Okay.
His name is As I'm quickly clickety click click click. Clickety click click. That's right, Zoller. Tom Zoller, with Love and Capes. I did a quick interview with him at MegaCon, as well as a new and up and coming webcomic artist who's been on the web for about a year now. He does coffin-comics.com, I believe, and one other that I can't think of, but it's all mentioned in the article and it will also be in the show notes. So we'll take care of that. Our MegaCon 2011 interviews.
Yeah.
I will be posting all the photos that I took and any other photos I can harvest from Carl, who I did meet up with at MegaCon, and put them up on our Facebook page, which I was informed by Scott that we still have and we should really update. So I'll put them up there. They're also the slideshow from my camera and my daughter's camera are up on. Actually, no, not my daughter's camera. Just my camera, my phone, and my. And my camera are on nightgig.com currently. So you can take a look at those if you'd like. Anything else, Scott, or is that about it?
No, we got to wrap it up. I really do need to get to bed.
It's only been an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, it's the fact that it's now...
It's only after 10?
Less than 6 hours.
Oh, you got an early shift now, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry to hear that. All right, well, let's take a quick break over to the MegaCon interviews, and I'll say goodbye to you then. You want to say goodbye now, Scott?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay, say goodbye.
Bye.
All right. And here we go with the interviews for MegaCon 2011.
Hi, kids. Space Ghost here. You are barking a happy tune on the Gig Cast. Isn't that where you go out and spear frogs?
Here we are at MegaCon 2011, or 2011, however you want to say it. I always do that. What do you say?
I say 2011.
2011. Okay, 2011. With Tom Zoller, right?
Zoller.
Geez, Tom Zoller from Love and Capes. Here at MegaCon 2011. How's it going for you this year?
It's going pretty well. It's going pretty well.
All right, and what's going on new with your book and your comic? What's new and different?
Well, the book is now coming out from IDW as a miniseries, coming out monthly, which is a change of pace. Issue 3 is just about to come on the stands. That's got an alternate cover by Darwin Cook,
uh-huh.
Which that's the cover I'm getting. I love Darwin's stuff. I'm so thrilled he did that.
Great.
Issue 5 is in previews, and one of the characters is not making it out of that issue. Somebody's dying.
Oh, no spoilers, though, right?
No spoilers, though,
okay,
yeah.
You have to find out yourself there. Now, you're still publishing online?
Still publishing online. Right now, issue 9, I think, are the issues that are up there.
Okay.
The issues that publish online are the older ones.
Right.
So that way, you can catch up and you can get hooked in the book, and then if you can't wait for it anymore, well, I've got more where that came
from. That's the best way to do it, Now, and that's loveandcapes.com?
Loveandcapes.com, yeah.
You got to make sure we get that in there. Now, get these books, and you can order them online as well as going to the stores to get them?
Yes,
or
you
what's
can.
The best way to get them?
The individual issues, T-shirts, and trades are all available at loveandcapes.com.
Okay.
The trades themselves are available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, places like that.
Right.
And your local retailer should be able to pick them up, too.
Excellent. What is your preferred way for people to pick them up?
I just want them to get them. I like that. I like that comic book shops carry them. I don't want to do anything to undercut those guys.
Understandable.
But you know, if you've got an Amazon gift card, that's not bad either.
Right.
Sales to the comic shops drive my numbers up to diamond. That's always good.
Yeah.
But I figure as long as you get it one way or another, it's going to benefit me somewhere. So.
Excellent. Well, it's a great story. And like, you can check the other stuff out online at 11capes.com. And we'll pick up in the bookstores, and you got to find out what's going on in the future there.
Yep.
And no spoilers, but no hints, no nothing?
No, I've even whited out the characters on the solicit for the cover so that you can't tell. I will say awesome. That's not the only surprise to happen in that book.
Great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to go in line and go meet Mr. Shatner there. So hopefully good luck with that.
I'm looking forward to that. This is my birthday present to myself. I've wanted to meet Mr. William Shatner for a long time.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited he's here, but I just don't have the coin. I left to meet him. It's amazing he's kicking. He just turned 80. That's what's
amazing. Oh, yeah. He's great. He's like a goal person of mine. If I have to get old, I want to get old like that.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, now just general convention stuff here. Any great costumes you've seen here that really have blown your mind so far?
There was a guy walking around as the Chris Reeve Superman who looked like Chris Reeve.
That's kind of freaky.
Yeah, I am all about the Amy Pond cosplayers.
Have you seen Amy? I've seen a couple
one
of
right
doctors.
Over there.
Amy! Excellent. Woohoo! All right, so they're already.
Not that I have a type or anything.
No. There are a couple of doctors I've seen. I was waiting in line outside with a doctor, but that's the first Amy I've seen. So they're all out there. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, appreciate taking the time.
Sure, no problem.
Tell Bill I said hi.
I will.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
You're listening to The Gig Cast, webcomic news for the fans, by the fans.
Here. Once again, MegaCon 2011 just found a new webcomic from a local comic artist, at least in my neck of the woods, the Tampa Bay area. Mr. Sean
Tamelio.
Tamelio, he does Coffin Comics. You can find it online at, I'm going to read the card here because I'm trying to cheat. That's whatshakingcomic.com.
Actually, Coffin Comics is coffin-comics.com. And another one, whatshakingcomic.com.
Excellent. And, of course, this is online. And also, you have some books here. Are these books available online as well? Or are they, to order online? Or are they just a convention thing you put together?
I have Coffin Comics issue 1 up right now. And when I get back, I'll be putting What's Shaking up.
Excellent. Now, How long have you been doing comics in general?
Well, in general, about a year now, actually.
Okay, and I've been putting them on the web for that as long as well? That long, or?
Yeah. I think I just celebrated my one-year anniversary of Coffin Comics not too long ago.
Outstanding. I'll send you for this first convention, then?
I did a Tampa Comic Con, last month?
Yeah.
That was my first. This is my first really, really big one, MegaCon.
This is pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's a few more people, yeah, I have to say.
Compared to the DoubleTree convention, the banquet room they have there, that was the Tampa Bay one. Went to that a few years ago, and it's not much of a... not like this. More of a dealer trading thing. It wasn't so much as a...
This is a whole other animal altogether.
Okay, and... how long have you been drawing? I mean, looking at just the leafing through the book here, real nice style. Looks like you've got your stuff together. How long have you been doodling around with your art and stuff?
Well, it's funny. I do all kinds of art. I actually got my degree in photography.
Okay.
And I do a whole bunch of different things: painting, sculpting. A couple years ago, I did a little drawing of the Coffin Comics back in, I think, 2007. It's crazy. and Coffin Comics is actually a Warcraft parody. I submitted one as one of their the little comic submission things, fan art stuff. So I did that way, way back in the day. Picked it up last year, just posting some stuff in my guild's forum.
Sure.
Ended up being weekly. They loved it. They, figured, hey, you know what? I might as well just put this online.
Yeah, it's amazing how these things just fall into place sometimes, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
That's great. And again, this is the first big convention. You got a couple books going. Looks like you got a good following there. Now, on the webcomic side of things, would you do your own hosting, or are you part of a collective anywhere?
I do. I host with IX Web Hosting, and okay. So I have my own domains.
Right, that's good. Yeah. All right, excellent. Well, a new comic to me, I'll definitely be checking it out. You guys check it out, too. Again, you can coffin-comic.com and whatshakingcomic.com.
Yeah, What's Shaking is actually a complete original story. It's a fantasy comedy. And Coffin Comics is a Warcraft parody.
All right. Well, again, great meeting you there, Sean. And like I said before, this is what we do. I'm just walking on here. This is the first year at Nightkick not having a table here. And I'm just trying to meet some new comics and find some new stuff to read. And looks like this might be a good one. So, again, I hope you have a great convention. And everybody out there, check out these comics.
Thank you.
This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.
Oh, that's great.